On this episode of the Green Street Beat, we're looking back at the big accomplishments for Lee's Summit Parks and Recreation in 2020 and previewing what you can expect to see in 2021. Let's get to it. I'm joined by Joe Snook, the Lee's Summit Parks and Recreation Administrator. Thanks for coming on the podcast again.
Thank you for having me. Enjoy it.
So today we wanted to do a little Parks and Rec year in review, plus a look ahead to 2021 and what people can look forward to. Obviously, 2020 has been a challenging year, but there have been some bright spots, especially for our Parks and Rec department. One of the ones that I found the most exciting was Lone Steam Park near the Streets of West Pryor development. And it offers something now that Lee's Summit Parks have never had before, outdoor fitness stations. So could you talk a little bit about that and what made you want to add this option?
Sure. Well, thank you for asking. So we added a new fitness component to Lowenstein Park. As we were working on the master plan and redevelopment of that park, we were evaluating all the different amenities that we want to consider. I will tell you that in 2016, through our master planning process, our community told us that adding outdoor fitness equipment was something that would be a priority for our community. So we really took that to heart. And I said, you know, this would probably be a great park to add that amenity. There's a lot of neighborhood. That park is active. If you've ever been out there, you see that trail is busy all the time. So adding that fitness component seemed to make a lot of sense. And so we put together an internal team of staff, and we really evaluated everything that was out on the market. And I think we came up with a pretty good piece. It's called Thrive 900, and it's a kind of a functional fitness type outdoor fitness piece. And it has probably over 20, 25 different type of exercises that you can do on it. Probably unlimited if you're very creative, but it's exciting.
And one of the nice things too is if you show up and you're maybe intimidated, you see all these outdoor pieces of equipment, not sure what to do. You guys actually have kiosks available that kind of walk you through exercises that can be done using the equipment, right?
Yes, sir. There's a kiosk at the location, and there's actually a QR code on there. You can just scan it with your phone or use your camera, and then it actually has whole workout programs and everything that'll pop up there for you. So it can give you some pretty good instruction on how to use each of the different areas of that fitness piece.
So what's the response been like since that's been added? I know, especially right now, people trying to limit indoor activities with people. So an outdoor fitness option has to be pretty popular, I would guess.
Yeah. I would say, you know, I go by there on a regular basis. It's been a little bit slow, to be honest with you, but it's also winter time, and we have had some nice winter days. And so I've seen people on it. I think it's going to get a lot busier. We're going to help with that. We're planning to provide some structured classes out there. Some more of an instructional type thing. So probably in the start of the new year, we'll be pushing that information out through our social media. And then we'll have some small group training, of course, with COVID and everything will be COVID safe, masks and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to provide the programming to really help educate our community on how best to use it.
And while that option is geared more towards adults, you guys also recently announced the opening of the playground at Lowenstein Park. What did you guys add?
Well, we added a whole new playground. We added a dedicated area for 2 to 5 year olds, and that's pretty cool. It's got a mound. It's our first mound in our system, and it's got a tunnel underneath the mound. So it's pretty cool. The day we opened it, I went out there about over the lunch hour on the day we opened it, and there was a mother and her two children. They were the very first ones to actually get on it. And the first thing the young boy did was go straight to the tunnel and climb through it, then jump up on the mound and then jump off the mound and then climb through the tunnel. So it was a pretty popular spot. We also have some climbing structures in the 2 to 5, a caterpillar, which kind of coincides. We have the butterfly garden at Lowenstein Park, which is a memorial to the children in our community that have passed away. So we thought that was a nice tie-in to the butterfly garden. So there's actually a play piece that's a caterpillar. And so that's in our 2 to 5 area, along with some slides and so forth. But then you get to the 5 to 12-year-old area, and that is where it gets really impressive. We have got a huge climbing structure, and it has multiple slides that come off that climbing structure. And you actually have to climb cargo net type areas within the climbing structure to get to the top. There's no easy way to get there. You don't get it just a nice, easy set of stairs. You got to climb the cargo net. So it's pretty cool. We got swings. We have I'm not sure what they call it, but it reminds, I jumped on it the other day and it reminds me of when I go snowboarding, you stand up on it and it's a rocker and it goes back and forth, but you're in a standing position. And it's kind of like a swing, but it's not a swing. So I think it's going to be pretty popular. I've seen a few people on that one already too.
So Lowenstein has become essentially a one-stop shop. It has something for every age group.
Absolutely. And I mean, we still, we maintained all of our nice green space there. So those people that still like the passive nature of the park, it is there. We upgraded some of the trails with the help of the developer who made a significant investment in that park. So there's additional trails there that go around the water feature and throughout our park. So you got more walking area. Oh, we got brand new parking lot. We got brand new lighting. And then the one feature that we've never had there, but they have now are fully functioning indoor restrooms. So you can come out there. They're open all year long. So they're heated so we can keep them open. So if you go out on a beautiful 60 degree December day, which is not uncommon, our restrooms will still be open for you and your family to use.
Well, I wanted to get to a few more park renovations that you guys have completed this year. But before I did that, I wanted to talk about another huge project that was done this year, and that's the wave pool at Summit Waves. Can you just talk about that project and what the response was over the summer to having a wave pool?
Well, the response was fantastic. The people that that bought season passes to Summit Waves loved it. I went there almost every day, talked to patrons pretty regular throughout the summer, and they just raved about how cool it was. The wave pool, there's only two wave pools in all of the Kansas City metro area. One of them is at Oceans of Fun, and one of them is in Lee Summit Parks and Recreation. We're the only municipally owned and operated wave pool in the region. So we're pretty proud of that. It's 8,000 square feet. It's a lot of great open water. It's actually, we can create six different types of wave patterns, and they're pre-programmed. They go on for 15 minutes, go off for 15 minutes. We added quite a bit of shade and quite a bit more deck space. And then we also have a support building with additional restrooms to support all the additional people that are in that area. So it was a huge success. And it was funny, not funny, something you would expect. But as soon as the waves kicked on, all the kids went running from all the other parts of Summit Waves over to the wave pool. And then when the waves kicked off, they kind of left and, you know, the adults, they kind of hung out in the water, just sitting in it or whatever. So it was kind of an interesting phenomenon to watch.
So what are those six types of different waves?
Well, there's the right breaker wave. So it kind of breaks to the right of the pool. Then there's the left. Then there's the one, and I don't remember the name of it, but it's just a nice standard wave. Then they have what they call the diamond, which gets pretty aggressive. Then there was the black diamond and the double black diamond. We actually do not use the black diamond or the double black diamond because when we were testing it out, the our manager of the aquatics facility's mouth fell to the ground. I had to pick it up. He looked at me and he said, "Joe, we'll be pulling people out of the wave pool all day long if we use those waves." So we do not actually use two of the six waves. The wave patterns are different. So when you come out there over the course of the day, you'll be able to experience those different wave patterns.
I think the mayor, even at one point when the wave pool opened up, said it's almost like going on a vacation, going to Summit Waves now with all the improvements that have happened there in recent years.
Well, you know, I think he's right. I will tell you, the first day they turned the waves on and they asked me to come up there to see it. Of course, we weren't open yet. And they were showing me the different patterns, but I just stood at the beach area, the entry area, and the waves were just crashing down. And it reminded me of being at the ocean. I love going to the ocean, and I sat there and I go, this is about the most relaxed I've been in ages. And it's just like sitting at the ocean. And when I talked to our patrons, a lot of them had very similar comments. They go, "God, this is just like being at the ocean, except I don't have to have the sand in my shorts."
That is definitely a benefit. Well, I wanted to get back to the parks renovations. I know we talked about Lowenstein. Some of the other big renovations you guys completed this year were Summit Park and Howard Park. So let's start with Summit. What's new at Summit Park?
Well, Summit Park is one of our oldest parks in our system. It was a complete renovation. So we took everything out, including the existing tennis courts. So we took them out completely and rebuilt the tennis courts from the ground up. So the whole tennis court is new with brand new lighting, LED lighting, which is fabulous. We put in brand new play structure there, and it is also a very aggressive fun play structure. There's a zip line at that park also, plenty of climbing opportunities for people. We put in two new shelters. That park also received restrooms. And then we added a walking trail to the park. That park had never had a walking trail. We added that trail. And quite honestly, that is one of the busiest trails in our system too. I go by that park about every day, and there's always people on that trail, which makes me happy, obviously, because I love seeing people use it. But that park is very busy. And then we also added an additional area for practicing for baseball and softball. So they had one practice area in the past. We created two, and we added some batting cages out there. So it was it got quite a makeover. The new amenities would be the trail, the additional shelter, as well as the additional infield and batting cages area.
And I know with Howard Park, there was a lot of excitement about the disc golf course and the new splash pad there, but those were only two of the many improvements that that park received.
Yeah, so that park is in our north part of our community. Originally, it pretty much had green space, a trail, and an old outdoor roller hockey rink. The roller hockey rink had really gone into disrepair. Roller hockey was not something that we could maintain. We had that program for several years, and it just dissipated. So we ripped out the old hockey rink. We put in a splash pad. And so what we've tried to do with our splash pads is put those in areas of our community where they might not have water play available through a homeowners association or something like that. And that area really was targeted as an important area to add a splash pad. So we put a nice splash pad out there, very popular. The neighbors up there love it. We put a brand new playground in there. And it's kind of themed. It's right next to the wooded area of that park. And so it's kind of has a tree fort feel to it. So that's pretty cool. And then we also put in some trail improvements. And then, as you mentioned, we added 9-hole disc golf. So we have the 18 out at Legacy, and then we've added this 9. And there's a pretty stark difference in the two courses. The one at Howard Park, and I'm not a disc golfer, but I've talked to some disc golfers who've been out there, is very technical. So that means there's a lot of obstacles, a lot of trees, a lot of curves. So you're going to have to have a little bit of skill to probably play that one. But there's a beautiful 9-hole course there.
And for those who want to play hockey, now they have an ice hockey rink to enjoy at Summit Ice. In its third year, correct?
Third year and going strong. It's having a great season already.
One of the things I think that makes the Lee Summit Parks and Recreation Department so special is just the variety of options. We've talked about the parks. We've talked about Summit Waves, Summit Ice. Then you guys also added a new trail at Legacy Park. Could you talk a little bit about that trail? It was a combination with a local nonprofit.
You know, one of the fastest growing segments of running is actually trail running. So off-road running and mountain biking has always been pretty popular. And personally, for full disclosure, I'm a mountain biker. I love mountain biking. So, as a part of our master planning process in 2016, natural surface trails was another one of those amenities that we did not have in our system, but was identified by our community as something they'd like to see added in the future. Through my mountain biking contacts, I was able to get connected with a trail steward from Urban Trail Company. They're a nonprofit organization in the Kansas City metro area. They pretty much build most of the off-road mountain biking and running and hiking trails in all of the Kansas City metro area. The trail steward I got connected with just happened to live in Lee Summit. And so, you know, conversations happened. I told him that, hey, we might be interested in looking at trying to do something out at Legacy. And so our conversations continued, and one thing led to another, and we were able to work with UTC to get 3 miles of single track trail put in this year out at Legacy Park. One of the stipulations that I had is that I wanted to be very family friendly. So most of the trails in the Kansas City metro area, and I've ridden most of them, are very technical. So it means a lot of rocks, a lot of tree roots, a lot of obstacles, which is great for somebody who has experience. But if you wanted to take your 10 or 11 year old child out there to maybe try mountain biking or to go for a nice hike, but not make it too hard, there wasn't a lot of options. And so I said, let's make it family friendly. And let's see what we can do. And they did a great job. Like I said, there's a 3-mile loop out there. I'm actually working with them right now on phase 2. Hopefully we're going to be able to add another 3 to 4 miles this winter, early spring. And so by next year, hopefully we'll have between about 7 or 8 miles of single track trail out at Legacy Park for people to bike on, to hike on, or to off-road run on.
So I guess when you are mountain biking, how high is or how steep is the incline?
Well, there's a lot of different inclines and a lot of different degrees. I don't know the answer to that. I will tell you that there's a couple of sections that if you're riding your bike or you're running it, you're going to get a good workout. It's going to require some extra effort. It's very doable, but it's a sustained climb. I think that's a good way to put it. So you're going to put an effort in for a little bit of time. So, but nothing that's too challenging.
So we mentioned earlier, 2020 has obviously been a very challenging year, but you guys have found some innovative ways to adapt this year. You've posted walking workouts. You've had a board jar that has helped people find fun things to do at home. You've had online workouts, virtual personal training workouts. So as you look back, what are your thoughts on the past year and how your team has adapted to the challenging environment?
Well, I mean, you said it initially, it was a difficult year. I mean, that's when I look back on this year, I'm going to think about hard. I'm going to think about the challenges we had to face. But I'm fortunate. I'm surrounded by excellent people, wonderful people, creative people. And our programming staff did a great job when we had to close down, you know, in mid-March, we started thinking about what are the things that we can do to help our community, right? We know if it was for any extended period of time, people were going to probably get a little stir crazy. They're going to need some options. We had some, you know, we haven't done a lot online. So we had to really embrace that technology a little differently than we've normally used it. Our staff went to town. I said, I want you guys to create some programming. They came up with the idea of the board jar. And oh my gosh, the ideas just were crazy. And I think if we could probably do 100 or 150 more board jar videos, because they had tons of ideas. And so I thought it was a great way for them to do a 2 or 3 minute video. We could put it out on our website. Parents could go to our website and access those. And if they were at home, these were all usually something they could pull from around the house, supplies, and then get together with their kids and do something kind of cool that we were able to offer them. In addition, we added, we were able to use technology and add virtual personal training, which was something that we have not offered in the past. And I think it'll be something that we're able to offer in the future. And then one of the areas that I was pleasantly surprised by was our parks operations and maintenance staff. They saw this board jar and they saw some of this other virtual programming going on. They said, we have an idea. Can we do something called a conservation corner? I said, well, what is it? They said, well, we want to talk about a conservation issue or idea once a week. And I said, you know what? I think that sounds great. And so here are just two of our maintenance guys that they're out in the parks doing different types of maintenance type activities for us. And they got their cameras, they put their scripts together, and they stepped way outside their box, and they had a great time. And I think it was a great little videos that we were able to put out there that were very educational and informative, that really highlighted our park system and some of the conservation efforts that we have, as well as just some of the, just environmental ideas or thoughts or education that was good to pass to our community.
We've looked back at 2020. We also have to look ahead. So what exciting things are coming for Lee Summit Parks and Rec in 2021?
Wow. Well, we'll talk about projects for a minute. So we have two park projects that we are trying to queue up for 2021. The first one will be Pleasant Lee Park, which is located over by Pleasant Lee Middle School. It's an older park. We completed a master plan process last year. Well, I should say in 2019, with our neighbors in our community over there. We have applied for a grant through the federal government. It's called Land and Water Conservation Funds. Those are funds that are distributed every year throughout the country and for projects that qualify. We believe this project will qualify for that money. We're waiting to hear from the federal government. We're hoping by early 2021, we'll have that confirmation. Once we get that confirmation, we'll be moving forward with that renovation. That's going to be a very, very cool project. We're going to put new playgrounds in there. We're going to do, they have a tennis court now. We're going to completely renovate that area, put shelters in there. We're going to put a rope bridge over a creek area. So it's pretty cool. And we're excited about that project. Then the second project that we hope to get started probably mid to late 2021 will be Veeley Park. It's a park up in our north area. Unfortunately, some vandals burned down the playground in the summer of 2020. We put a temporary playground structure in there. Actually, it was borrowed from Lowenstein. As we were renovating Lowenstein, we took the old playground out and moved it to Veeley for the time being. And we're working with the community right now on a master plan for that park. And we hope to wrap that up in early 2021, and then probably in mid to late 2021, start the renovation of that park.
Is there anything that I missed from the past year or looking ahead to 2021 that you want to chat about?
I would mention looking at 2020 and the pandemic and the impact it had on our whole operations. You know, it was difficult, as I stated earlier, but two programs that really stand out to me is our Camp Summit program and Summit Waves. The fact that we were able to offer those two amenities during the summertime was, I consider that a small miracle. We worked extensively with the county health department. There were no guidelines on how to open a pool. There were no guidelines on summer camps. They had guidelines for a daycare center, but we're not a daycare center. We're completely different. So my staff and I worked hand in hand with select individuals from the county health department. My staff and I actually wrote all the protocols to open an outdoor pool that the county then used and shared with other communities to open up their pools if they chose to. So the fact that we were able to open up Summit Waves this year, I think was very impressive, and Camp Summit also. And what I really think is impressive is that over the course of the summer, you know, we served thousands of people and hundreds of kids at those operations, and we had less than five reported cases of COVID. And that included all of our staff as well as all of our patrons. So I think that it goes, you know, we put all the safety measures we could in place, and we were pretty stringent on making sure those safety measures were implemented consistently throughout the entire summer. And I think our hard work paid off. We were able to provide a sense of normalcy for people over the course of the summer, which I think was hugely important. And we were able to give everybody in our community, but especially the youth of our community, somewhat of a summer experience. So I'm very proud of our staff, and I'm very proud of the efforts that they went to make sure we could continue to provide our services and our resources to our community. So I do think that's a highlight in the midst of this difficult year.
Well, it's been impressive, as it always is, to see all the improvements to the park system. And hopefully, if you haven't checked out some of these improvements already, you get out there and check them out. I appreciate you coming on the podcast to talk about some of the big improvements and give us a little glimpse of what we can look forward to in the next year.
Well, I appreciate it, Eric. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode. Make sure to subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcasts and share on social media to help spread the word.